Om Shri Sai Ram. Good morning from Prashanti Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe, on this Thursday, the 22nd of November 2018. The 37th convocation of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning is about to begin in about an hour from now. And tomorrow, what can I say about tomorrow without my heart missing a beat and jumping in joy? Tomorrow is the biggest, most glorious and most awaited day of the Sai calendar, when we will celebrate the 93rd anniversary of the advent of the Purna Avatar, Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. Meanwhile, the current time in the ashram is exactly 35 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time, and let me just remind you that there is a specific reason why I have logged in earlier than usual, which is my usual time is 9:40. I will explain it to you in a bit from now. Weather conditions in the Divine Valley. This morning we woke up to overcast skies, but since I drove to office, the sky has begun to clear up and we can see some sunshine. Seasonal temperatures, cool nights and sunny days, lows of 18 degrees Celsius, highs of about 30 degrees Celsius. Traffic in downtown Puttaparthi is busy and slow due to the increased volume of vehicles from everywhere. Thousands and thousands of devotees are here, and that translates into busy streets with an increased, with an increased volume of pedestrians and vehicular traffic. And our local municipality is going the extra mile to keep our town neat and tidy, which is absolutely fantastic. But the other side of this coin is that we have to deal with brigades of cleaning crews who are tidying up the sidewalks and the streets several times a day. So they also add to the population of people on the streets, but what they're doing is much needed. And there's a sea of humanity that has descended into the ashram, and try driving around here without honking. If you're an aggressive driver from a big city who's used to keeping your hand on the honk and going beep, beep, beep for people to move, you can't do any of that here. So patience is the word if you're in a car. And if you're in a scooter and you're weaving through traffic, good luck to you, but just be safe, please. Inside the ashram, the Sai Kulwant Hall is filled to the brim. And activities are simultaneously taking place outside, and those are also on in full swing. Our kitchens are working 24/7. That is because Baba is hosting all his children with delicious lunches and dinners, as always free of cost to everyone. Delicious meals. That is hundreds of thousands of meals through this festival season, because every day maybe about 40,000-50,000 people are eating those meals. Even maybe more, because yesterday as I was trying to drive out from the back gate, I realized the entire driveway was filled with rows and rows and rows of little children who have come from schools, government schools, private schools that are in the vicinity of Puttaparthi. There were thousands of just school children who are not our students per se, not Sathya Sai school students, but Zilla Parishad school and other private school children who had all come for their meals to Prashanti Nilayam and have the prasadam. And, dear sisters and brothers, there are several multiple medical camps taking place right now in Prashanti Nilayam, over and above the general hospital and the super hospital doing their regular stuff. The international medical camp is happening in Prashanti Nilayam. The alumni is running a medical camp. And everybody is being looked at by proper doctors, given their medication, all free of cost, in honor of the Lord who taught us that the greatest satisfaction and happiness comes in life from extending a helping hand to those in need. And we have just concluded a two-day event which has left your host deeply humbled, mesmerized, and awestruck. Sai Ram, dear listeners, my name is Karuna, and today I wish to declare to you that if there is any place on the face of this planet Earth where in the thick of this age of darkness known as the Kali Yuga, there is a paradise, and by that I mean a spiritual paradise, it is here in Prashanti Nilayam. I declare it with utmost confidence. The events of the recent past days have only confirmed the same. And honestly, I don't have the adequate vocabulary to describe to you what all has been happening in the Sai Kulwant Hall and the Purnachandra Auditorium over the past 2 days of the Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organization's spiritual conference called Living with Sri Sathya Sai. Last week on the show, you heard Mr. Nimish Pandya just touch upon the topic of the conference, but you just had to attend this to know what this was all about. Going back to the basics, doing a thorough self-audit, figuring out our life, our purpose, the goal for which we engage in Sai activities. Have we lost our path? Are we on the path? Where is the course correction required? It was all so awesome and humbling. I just can't begin to tell you. There were these probing discussions and talks. The music was utterly heavenly. The exhibition, the collective jap, we were all riding a spiritual high. It gave us a taste of the wisdom, the deep introspection, the great articulation, the talent, the organizational skills that were demonstrated by the devotees of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. So my dear sisters and brothers, I have a humble request for you. Please take a moment to visit the Radio Sai's YouTube channel and make sure you go through all the AM and PM programs of 20th and 21st of November 2018. That would be the morning and the evening programs of the Sai that took place in the PC Auditorium or the Sai Kulwant Hall on November 20th and 21st, 2018. Because even if you can watch one little portion at a time, you assign, say, half an hour every day to watching these, you can enjoy, even in bite-sized pieces, you can partake of the spiritual feast and the nourishment that this event served. And I'm sure you will be glad for it. With that, dear listeners, I'm happy to announce that I will be playing for you the conclusion of our Tryst with Divinity with Ms. Malini Kalyanam in just a few moments. And after that, there will be a little bit of music, and especially my recent favorite song, Tujhe Naman, an offering by the children of the Sri Sathya Sai Vidya Vahini program at the Lotus Feet on his birthday. And this song will be followed by us and maybe a little bit of more music, but all of a sudden we'll cut live to the Kulwant Hall. And when the convocation, the 37th convocation of Bhagwan's University, the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning will begin. With the commencement of the convocation ceremony, we will be coming to you live, and that should commence by about 10:30, if not 10:29 or so. We will cut live to the Kulwant Hall and the Mandir. And on behalf of all of us at Radio Sai, that includes those of us you hear often and the others who work very silently and tirelessly behind the scenes, I want to wish all our listeners a very happy Holy Bhagwan's birthday. He says the day love and compassion blossom in our hearts, he is born. Let love and compassion overflow in our hearts every single moment from this moment onwards. And stay, and may we never lose track of why we are in this business of being associated with Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, entirely for our own self-transformation. We are not here to reform the world or change the world. If there's anybody we need to work upon, it's each one of us has to work upon ourselves. That's what the All India President, Mr. Nimish Pandya, reminded us when he inaugurated the conference. And that's what the many speakers who spoke about, they discussed the same topic from such interesting scientific spiritual perspectives. And I wish, if you are in Prashanthi Nilayam, please take the time to visit the PC Auditorium to see the exhibition if it's still available. It was a marvel. And all the talks that were delivered in the Purnachandra Auditorium have got people buzzing and talking about how necessary it was to hear those talks and be reminded of those fundamentals. Sometimes we get so carried away by the things we do, we forget the very purpose for which we are involved in this mission. And it's out of his immense compassion that Swami has included you and I to be part of his mission. So let's be very grateful, stay humble, stay grounded, and constantly introspect and self-audit. I know Dr. Pitre said that auditing is a term associated with accountants in his talk, but sometimes even spiritualists need to, or seekers need to audit themselves to see where are we going, where are we headed, how much ground have we covered, if at all any, or are we caught up in some kind of a whirlpool of confusion. So this conference has been such an eye-opener, and I just can't stop talking about it, but I think now I must. So dear listeners, have a saisam awesome day ahead, and thank you for connecting with us till we meet next week. Enjoy part 2 of Tryst with Divinity with Malini Kalyanam. She's in conversation with my colleague, Brother Bishu Prushti. We look forward to your feedback to this interview and to all Radio Sai offerings. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. Enjoy the rest of the show and thank you for your company. And for the rest of the day, do not go away from Radio Sai, because you're going to love the convocation ceremony, the speeches, the Bhagwan is going to declare it open. So, you know, heaven, stay connected to heaven, spiritual paradise, as I said. You wouldn't want to be any place else. Wherever you are, just put on your headphones if you can multitask and, you know, keep it on the low volume and enjoy your connection with Radio Sai. And may Swami bless us all. Thank you for your company and Jai Sai Ram.
So this was, it started with your aversion to surgery, isn't it? You are very clear that you didn't want to put your body through any surgery.
Yes.
And that is how this whole process started. You wanted to heal yourself.
Yes.
But God said that I have healed you, now you better learn to heal others.
Yeah. That's, I think, what was on his mind. And the journey of healing continues. And ever since that has taken place, it's taking most of my time because now I'm also healing for people belonging to other countries.
Beautiful.
And it's a lot of time because the duration, like for example, if you're in India and you are having 2 o'clock in the morning, it would be 8 o'clock in a different country. And whatever timing they choose at their convenience is what we need to have. So I'm geared all through the night and all through the day for healing, because it's his design. He chose me to be the healer.
Amazing. And you're also so passionate about conserving nature, donating plants, and inspiring people, motivating people to do gardening. So is this what came to you from your father? Because your father is someone who spends morning 2 hours in gardening.
2 hours? You must be kidding. He spends
start with, it is 2 hours in the morning, right?
No. He starts way back at 3:30 in the morning, right up to 10. He has his coffee break. If we keep calling him 100 times saying that the chai is getting cold, then he will come tired. Even now, it is continues to be about 5 hours at least.
So right from 3:30 in the morning, right? When he gets up and he cleans up the whole place. And I think by 4:35 he's in the garden, right? And that goes on till 9:10?
Yes. He used to clean the streets earlier.
Yes.
Nowadays he's
but
not
he
able to.
But he still cleans the entire staircase,
yeah,
right?
At 96 now, no. He stopped it as of last year.
Okay.
Now,
till 95 he was doing that.
And now his eyesight is failing him, mm-hmm, and his, you know, his stature. Mm-hmm. He's a little unsteady. Mm-hmm. So, but he still continues to pull the pots because he's not able to lift them. he's enduring
God,
all that and pulling the pots. And when he gets tired, he conveniently puts a chair in the garden. A couple of places he keeps a chair. So he just plonks himself in the chair and then takes his walking stick and again starts digging the plants.
Still continues to do that. And then he has his kitchen garden
on the rooftop.
I have seen him after he finishes tending to the plants there on the terrace, then he would bring back with him some greens, or it could be a tomato, or it could be a lady's finger, and that is what he would cook and have. Wow. Amazing. I mean, his love for cleanliness, his love for plants, his love for nature, his love for self-reliance is something absolutely phenomenal. So your love also for greenery, gardening, is it something that
I guess I imbibed it from him.
Yes.
Like there are things like,
rubbed,
you know,
off on you.
Yeah, I think I always grew up with plants. So the question of not having greenery, I mean, I could not think of a home without greenery.
Hmm.
You know, to me, greenery was part and parcel of life. And we've had nothing less than about 4,000, 5,000 plants.
Hmm.
So wherever we went, plants was like, in most homes, you know, people are geared to see watching the TV. Here we are geared to watering, geared to living with the plants. Mm. And see, it's like this. It's a true blessing. I look at it because we are saving the planet. Planet belongs to Swami. Today, if you look at it, I often ask people, you're giving dowry,
You're giving jewels to your daughter. You're keeping fixed deposits. You're giving beautiful saris, whatever. You're spending in lakhs and crores. Now, you're spending for your child all this because you love your child. But let's look at it in a different way. All of a sudden, if there's no planet, everything comes down crashing because you have no trees, no monsoons, nothing. What is the use of all that you have gifted your children? Nothing. So if you want your children, the real assets would be to make sure you maintain the planet in the same condition that Swami blessed you with. So, and we have to be thankful for the air we breathe. Yes. And how do we express that gratitude? By making sure that we don't have deforestation. By making sure that every street has lines of trees like we used to have in the 1960s. I still remember when I was born, the place where I was in Mowbray's Road, it used to be lined with trees that you could hardly see the skyline. Because both the trees would fall in like a, you know, shape, in a shape which would be covering the sky. Now, you have to go long distances in wearing a cap or wearing your goggles because the heat is such. And we cannot blame anybody but ourselves for the way that nature is treating us, because we are treating nature badly. So this is what you can expect in return.
Yes.
Gratefulness begets gratefulness. Love begets love. So unless, it's not enough if you love one another. You have to show love towards nature. Only when you love nature will nature love you in return and bless you bountifully.
Absolutely. I mean, nature is God's vesture.
Yes.
I mean, you cannot say that I love Swami, but I will disrespect nature or I will not take care of nature.
Yes.
It is as good as saying I am disrespecting Swami.
Yes.
And I think once you do it also with that feeling, it also fills you with that much satisfaction, isn't it?
Right.
It gives you so much back.
And when you plant a sapling and it starts blooming, it's like you go in to peep every morning and say, have I got a new leaf? Have I got a new bloom? Have I got a new bud? Have I got a new stem? Yes. These are all small cherishes in life which make your morning.
Yes, so beautiful. So you are also someone, just changing track, who's so passionate about serving in Prashantanilayam. You've been coming to Puttaparthi whenever there is a chance to do seva. And you have such a hectic schedule. You are doing a million things, right from gardening to dancing. And still you take time of 15 days, 10 days and come for seva. This is the month of May you are here. And this is actually a very difficult month in Puttaparthi. Very hot, very dry. What is it that always propels you about this chance to serve in Puttaparthi as a sevagar?
See, this is not the first time I'm coming in May. I've been coming for so many years now in May. And when you say I'm doing so many things, I don't think I'm doing these things. I believe that there is that supreme energy which is giving me all that energy to do this and much more. And when I come for seva, there are people who ask me this question. Sai Baba died. Now why are you continuing to go to Prashantinilayam? This question has been asked by many people to me. And my answer to all of them is the same. I tell them, see, to you, you think he is dead. And you think, you asking me, where is he? I am asking you a question. He has not disappeared. He has appeared. Where has he disappeared in the first place?
Where is he not?
Where is he not? Show me. He is now in a thousand times more powerful scenario than I saw him in his physical form. This I can 100% with conviction I can tell you, because I am seeing and watching every day. What Swami was in his physical mortal self is what you are thinking. But only if you've been a sevak, a sevadal, you will know he is multifold now with a million hands more. So my feeling is you must first visit Prashanti, feel the bliss, then ask me questions. So like this, I have brought many people to Prashanthi. And once they come, Swami does the rest. He is in fact doing, even by bringing them in the first place, he is doing the best. Because my job ends when I tell them, look, you know me as an individual. You know what I am. So if I am still continuing here, you should know there is something here. And they are convinced when I tell them, yes. Because in some way, they have been watching me in different scenarios, like you put it. I am doing everything and still going strong. So there is some supreme power that is behind her. So they fall in line. And I tell them, learn this 108 Ashtotra. Learn a few songs. Mentally prepare yourself to come to Parthi. Every day pray. Then you will get a blessing. Come.
Just like your friend took you to him.
Yeah, you put it so well. Exactly.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah. So it's like, it's so nice when you...
The rest is actually... It's quite a mystery.
Yeah, it's not history, but a mystery. That's exactly what I wanted to tell you, and you put it right.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Beautiful. Mm. Maybe you should share one or two instances here of how you have felt his presence so strongly after Bhagwan left his physical form.
See, I look at it this way. It took me quite a while for me to forget him from his physical self. More because, as I told you, I found him initially the crush, and then later I see him with reverence. So, to me, I still say he is... I tell myself he's still in... I can see him physically. And when I see the pictures, I remind myself saying they're not pictures, but they're real. Okay? So to me, initially, I found it tough to come and visit the Samadhi. It took me a while to digest. Because even on the day when Swami left his so mortal self, when the TVs were blaring his program, I refused to see it. My son called me and said, Ma, your favorite is being shown on TV and you still don't want to see it. I said, no, I cannot digest that. So, to me, there's no difference between him in that form and this form. I continue to tell myself, he is in an abundant, infinite form and he is doing his miracles every way. And if you asked me years what happened after 2011 or before 2011? No.
You don't see any demarcation.
No, I don't see any demarcation. To me, Prashanthi is ever more vibrant, ever more bountiful and supreme in every sense. There is absolutely no change on what it was when Swami was physically present and now. In fact, I would say it is even more blissful. Because he, being the Paramatma, he is showing us way beyond. Now, like it's Vishwarupa Darishanam. He can do anything. Like this Buddha Purnima day, I don't know if you observed. Well, I mean, many people also saw Swami on the moon. Of course, I've seen Swami on the moon many times. But this is each year, each time happening, is a new experience by itself.
Yes, I think that's...
And I've had... a couple of instances which are really amazing. Like, for example, at a time when I asked Swami, Swami, you've done so many miracles for me. He said, document it. So I said, my God. And said, what do I document it for? He said, to make a book, of course. Then I thought to myself, I said, Swami, can I really do this? Then I told my son, I said, give me your computer. My kiddo refused. He said, Ma, I don't think you can quite handle my computer because it's a high-end computer and I don't want you messing around. He said, get yourself one if you really want. Then I said, oh my God, now what do I do? So I again prayed to Swami and I said, Swami, my son refuses to give me the computer. So Swami just smilingly said, find other ways to do it, but do it.
These were inner conversations.
Inner conversations. He will sometimes talk in the Ajna. Sometimes I can hear through the voice. Mm. Sometimes he will speak in the dreams. Mm. He will come in the dreams and tell. At that point of time, He just said, document it. So I got myself a small computer, started documenting. Suddenly, one fine morning, I get a call from some stranger and said, can you recall some stories, leelas that Swami has performed? Can you speak to a good audience, a really enlightened Sai audience? Would you be brave enough to talk on the stage?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I guess so, because Swami has done so much, but this is my first experience where I'm going to talk to an enlightened audience. And I said, what am I supposed to start with? He said, start with any of those leelas that he has performed for you. It's for 1 hour, the talk.
Mm-hmm.
She gave the date. I was confident, as meticulous as can be of a Gandhian's daughter. I documented everything perfectly. I asked my son to take printouts, if there was any corrections, grammatical corrections, whatever. He gave everything to me and said, Ma, here's your list of stories. I rehearsed everything, kept them in order, pinned it up. When the day dawned, just before I was leaving, my father broke his tooth.
Oh.
As I was proceeding in the car, just about to go in, he called me and said, can you do me a favor? I said, what? He said, I've just broken my teeth. Can you give it to the doctor? The doctor is just 2 buildings away before you go. I said, oh my God, what a thing to happen just when I'm leaving. Anyway, I took all the paper, the purse that I had with all the things, I kept it aside. I took a piece of paper because it was a tooth. And then he said, put that into a wrapper nicely. I'll put my name on it and then you can take it. So I said, okay, wait, hold on. I took another purse and said, put it into this purse. And he gave it to me. I went in. After I went there, I thought my father would be wondering whether I handed it perfectly. So I went and told him. I said, the secretary says she will give the tooth in 2 days. She expects you to be in liquid diet until then. My father said, fine. I said, I'm leaving. I didn't realize after giving him that slip which that lady gave, I took the same purse and I left. The documentation with the lovely stories of leelas which have to be recorded at that place was not in this purse.
Oh.
And this purse did not have any money. Obviously, it was just meant to hold the teeth in a shape and hand it over to the hospital. Now, my driver normally tells me, saying, Amma, have you taken everything? That day, of all days, he didn't ask me anything. I sat in the car and I was going very comfortable, very confident that I had rehearsed, everything was intact. And as I was going in the car, I started talking to Swami. I often talk to Swami because I tell myself this is way to converse and get things from him. But Swami is always clever. He doesn't reveal sometimes many things, but expects you to get the awakening. So while I was going in the car, I asked Swami, I said, Swami, I think since this is my first meet where I'm speaking about you to an enlightened audience, the audience would expect me to garland you or give you a beautiful mala or whatever. So let me buy for you some mallipu, fragrant jasmine flowers.
Love.
Immediately Swami said, Emi Oddu in Telugu. So I said, as is usual, Swami says, Oddu. So what shall I do?
No need of anything.
No need of anything. Then suddenly, I don't know why, I told my driver, just drop me here. I'll walk it a bit. We're still very early. You go home. My dad might need you for something else. So he left me and he went. He asked me, should I come back? I said, not required. I think I should be able to manage. I'll let you know if I need any help. And I said, if there's no work at home, you can take off. So after he left, I was mentally thinking, Swami, why are you saying you don't want flowers? I don't understand. Then Swami said, where is the need for flowers? You are talking about my leelas. That is more important. I said, okay, Swami, if you so wish, so shall it be. I went a little further down the road. Human being is such that the smells are very enticing sometimes. The smell of hot vada. You see, it was in Mylapore in Karpagambal mess. Many of the South Indians or people living abroad who have lived in Mylapore would know this place. This place is unique because left, right and center on all the walls of the hotel, you find Swami's pictures mm-hmm. in big format.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful pictures of Swami.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like you are sitting with the divine and eating. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of ambience. So, as I was walking down the road, I kept telling Swami, Swami, I can smell the vada coming from the Karpagambar mess. Now, let's have tiffin together. Immediate reaction from Swami, Oddu, means no need. I said, Swami, what are you up to? Why, Oddu? Why? Why are you so keen that I should not have even vada? There is a long way now. I'm more than half an hour early for the program. You can't say no, Swami. And I was arguing with Swami so much. I was adamant. I literally stumped my feet and I said, Swami, I'm going, entering inside. You are with me, coming inside. Do you hear me, Swami? You are with me. And I walked in. I sat in. I looked at all the pictures. And then when the waiter came in and asked for the order, since Swami was with me, I'm telling myself, okay, Swami, one vada won't do. We are two of us at his thing. And I said, vada, just vada, maybe coffee. I said, no, I'm not a coffee person, so maybe I'll take an ada. There's an ada which is like a dosa. So I told this person, go get this. He got everything. The bill came to, I think, 123 or something like this. Now, I was not aware that I didn't have money in this purse. In the meantime, while I was washing my hands, I just struck upon a shelf which had badam halwas. I was reminded of myself when I was a child. My mom, when she was a senior auditor in Accountant General's office, the first of every month, the government servants used to be given in their canteen this badam halwa mm-hmm. at a price. My mother used to bring this meticulously every month all through her service. I said, this is a chance for me to gift my child at least one badam halwa in his life. He's never tasted one. So I said, let me go and find out. So when I found out, there were only big ones and each was costing something around 120 or 150 lowest. So I said, okay, not once in a way only we are buying. So let me buy it. So I told the man, till what time will the hotel be open? Then he said, ma'am, it will be open till 9:30. I said, okay, on my way back, let me buy, because now if I buy, the smell will be surrounding. By then, the waiter had come and kept the bill. Just then, I realized it's the wrong purse. You can imagine my state of plight, my state of shock, my state of fear, my state of what is to follow.
First presentation of that nature.
Yes! And never has such a thing befallen me. Swami had given me guidance right from when I was sitting in the car. When I asked him about the flowers, he said no. Then again, when I said I'm going into the shop, he said no. I still stumped with my feet and said, Swami, you're coming with me to eat. And with that force, I sat. I panicked. There is a saying in Tamil, when you don't have money, you grind. You go there to grind the dosha.
Okay.
Or you part with a ring or anything in gold. Me being a Gandhian, I never ever wear gold. I never had a craze for this gold medal, although most of the women have. So I realized I had nothing to say. I just, in all my, that usual tendency of mine, in a corporate style, I told him, keep it and go. Come after a few minutes. After a few minutes, what is to befall, I didn't know. I just prayed. I said the Sai Gayatri, God knows how long and how fast. I said, Swami, I know I have again failed you. I have done something despite you telling me not to do. I have gone back on this. I don't know what to do. Please come to my rescue. I expected Swami to be rude or shout at me, do something. But Swami was in his benevolent, merciful self. Just gave me a second more and said, open your purse. I said, Swami, there's no money inside it. Please do something for me. I don't know what to do. Maybe I expected somebody would come somebody whom I know so I can borrow, whatever. He said, open your purse for the second time. I opened the purse. Exact amount of what was in that, 123 in coins, was there in that purse.
Amazing.
And that's not all. When I went, I was still thinking, oh my God, Swami, thank you for this. I really don't know what more I should do. I didn't realize the paper was not there. Okay, this thank you I have said. Then again, I walked in. I realized the audience had come there earlier than me and were all waiting.
Oh.
Because the person who had introduced me to that crowd had already told the crowd that Swami has done a lot of miracles for her, so she'll be able to speak in such a way that you'll find yourself that 1 hour will pass by like anything. So these had all come prepared and booked their seats, seated. When I came there, I was in a state of shock because I didn't expect to see so many people. And the speaker already had gone to the stage and said, there are quite a number of people. I think I will start the introduction on the speaker. Oh my God. Then it was then that I realized, oh my God, I don't have the paper with me. Because when the speaker starts, you get geared for the thing. Oh God, what is to be done? Sairam. Again, the Sai Gayatri started in full flow. Then when he introduced me, I walked through the passage. I fell at Swami's feet. I did not get up.
Oh my God.
Can you believe how long that must have been when somebody from the crowd asked, she has fallen at Swami's feet. When is she going to get up? Then I got up. My hands were shaking. Then I don't know what happened because I took the mic. That's all I remember. What was spoken, don't ask me. I don't know because Swami took over. Swami being a very, and he knows, meticulously punctual person, exact at the drop of 1 hour, like a drop of a hat. The 1 hour presentation was over. The speaker thanked. I saw from the crowd people taking notes. One person I saw, another person. Immediately after the program was over, I dashed to that lady and I said, can you tell me, what is it that you are writing? Then she said, I'm writing, Sairam, all that you have said only. I said, if you don't mind, can I take a small piece of paper from you and just write the gist of what you wrote? Just words. One word, and I will know the whole thing. She was shocked. She said, why would you want that, my dear? I said, because for the simple reason, I have not been the speaker. Immediately by then, people who had gone started coming in. I said, hey, wait, there's something more that's happening here. This is another miracle of Swami. Then I wrote down just 2-3 words, little, and I realized all the stories that Swami spoke, the leelas that he had performed on me, were stories that I had not written in the book. Because I kept telling Swami, that Swami, I've written all that I can think of. This is all that you've done. He said, is it? Now watch the fun. Watch the drama that is to follow. And that's what happened. So nearly six or seven stories, he beautifully presented, and all that entered into the computer.
Just like they say, for every story of Prahlada that you hear, for every instance of Markandeya or Gajendra Moksha that you hear, there are millions that you never know, you have never heard, that you would never ever come to know. And I think it's the same with us. Of the million things that Swami is constantly doing for us, maybe one instance once in a week or once in 2 days becomes very obvious to us, and we feel, oh, here Swami is there with us, with me, But I think those are like maybe one or two times when Swami was like hitting us and telling us,
yes,
hello, realize this. But otherwise, silently, he's constantly doing. And
yes,
I think it's once we reach a level where at every moment we are able to feel that, at every moment we are able to see him in action, I think that then life would become a celebration.
Yes. And looking at it in a different way, you see, Swami had shown many things to many people, but each leela of his is unique to every person.
Yes.
I don't find the same leela being repeated as a matter of routine. Like when he said one fine morning, this happened in Vrindavan, Trai Vrindavan, he came in my dream. When he came in my dream, he smilingly told me, come, be my guest at Trai Vrindavan. At that time, I didn't know what Trai Vrindavan looked like. So when he said, come, be my guest, I said, wow, this is beautiful. So one fine morning, I packed my bags because he said, come, be my guest. And when somebody calls you saying, be my guest, that person expects that, you know, the host will take care of everything, because guest means that. So after the darshan, everything was over, I went into the accommodation place and I said, I've come for accommodation. The person at the accommodation desk said, sorry, there are no accommodations here. And there was another foreigner, a couple of foreigners there. They were also denied. Probably they too were informed by Swami in their dreams. I don't know what that dream was. So they had also come. So they also went away. And they were also a bit sad. I was also a little, I was perplexed, didn't know what to do. Then I said, okay, if Swami, you've called me and there are no accommodations, probably there are too many visitors you're handling and too much of a crowd, so you can't think of me. I understand. I know when the crowd is too much. I've geared myself. It's okay, Swami. You love me, so I know that. But I've come prepared, so I need to stay somewhere for the night. So I told myself I'm going out. I said a silent prayer and I told Swami, Swami, I've heard your darshan, speech, everything is nice. Tomorrow morning I'm waiting to hear the next discourse. But since there's no accommodation, I intend sleeping on the platform. I am thinking that you didn't give me this accommodation because you want me to realize what it is to sleep on the platform. Probably that is why you have denied me. And as I look upon myself, if I'm serving the poor and serving the needy and doing seva, maybe this is the next step to follow. It's okay, Swami. I will take it in a good stride. But please do me one favor. I have with me the bed sheets and things like that, but I'm scared of insects. I'm scared of centipedes and millipedes. And there are quite a few here. I have not brought with me the buds for my ears. And either ways, let me tell you, any insect coming closer to me in very close proximity, I don't know if I can bear that. So, bless me that I sleep peacefully in the pavement. If there are so many poor people who are sleeping in the pavement bravely, then I too should be able to sleep bravely. I convinced myself that this is what Swami wants. He's gearing me for it. And I went to place the sheet in a place where probably nobody has, you know, as you know in India, people spit everywhere. People chew paan, they throw everywhere. So I said, let me look at least for some little decent ground space where I can conveniently spread myself. Just when I am taking the sheet, I hear a voice from a gent Sevadal coming out saying, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. So the foreigner who had also come out, she was perplexed. She said, whom is this person calling Sai Ram? Then she said, I think they are calling you. So I said, oh my God, now where do I leave all my belongings? Then she said, no, take it with you in. Some seva, somebody is calling, so then you can come back here. It's your place. Then I went in. Then they called that foreigner also subsequently. I go to the desk. The same person who denied me the accommodation says, Sai Ram, you've been given accommodation along with the Balavikas gurus. Is that okay with you? I said, wow. He said, it's a nice place. It's in the room. There'll be a warden there. You have to tell them that you're a guest of Swami. Then it struck me. I said, what? Guest of Swami? How does he know I'm a guest? Unless Swami has told him. Because I have not opened out and said my dream with Swami. Swami, I have dreamt. So I said, this is amazing. I went in. I found lot of Balvika's gurus. And probably one or two of them were told that I've come as a guest. So they asked me, are you not a guru? I said, no, not yet. They said, okay, this is your place. Sleep for the night. Next morning, I'm seeing Swami for darshan. It's like smiling and saying, you got your place? Mm-hmm. All the thoughts which ran in your mind, were they not unwanted thoughts? Mm-hmm. You guessed wrongly that I have forgotten you in the millions that see me. But I have thought for every mortal soul here. Mm-hmm. Every one of them is dear to me, is what he proved.
Wow. I will, he can accommodate any number.
Yeah.
at any point in time. Amazing. As they say, if you leave everything in God's hands,
yes,
you will see God's hand in everything. And I think that is what your life is. That is what everyone's life is. Once you come to know Bhagwan, He is there looking after everyone all the time. It is just that our realization of that becomes more and more sharper.
Yes.
Once we are attuned to Him. And once this realization happens, your life becomes more joyful. That's all.
Yeah.
Otherwise, He is all the time there. Otherwise, we would not be doing whatever we are doing. All of us, every person in the planet. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Mrs. Malini Kalyanam. I know you have many more stories to share. And the story is endless, because every day we feel Him in such inimitable, amazing ways. And He continues to touch us every day in a manner that is indescribable. And you only feel at the end of the day grateful to Him. It all started with He inculcating in you that attitude of gratitude, that attitude of service. And I think that is what continuously in different ways He keeps doing for each one of us, until we reach that stage where at every moment of our lives we are constantly only in gratitude. And I think that is what will make us worthy instruments in His hands. I think once you have that attitude, then you automatically become an instrument in His hands. Thank you so much for coming to the studios and sharing these beautiful moments with Bhagwan, which today, whenever you think about it, you feel like Bhagwan. Thank you so much.
Sai Ram. Thank you again.
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
पत्ते सूखते हवा और देते प्राण हमें।
Mama